Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Your man Casanova Williams with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Yo, new year, new everything. I know it's been a month. I know it's February right now, but you know, I was taking the month of January to really do some things, guys. One, I gotta thank y'all for a great year last year, the response and the love, you know, of y'all wanting more and hitting me up and let's be honest, being on my ass about doing this podcast and keeping and being consistent with it. So, you know, I wanted to come back and made sure that I was going to be consistent from now on. So that's why I didn't do nothing in January. And January, I was doing a lot of things. I don't know if you've seen, some of y'all haven't, because I know, you know, y'all just follow me on this, but me and my wife, we're doing our podcast and our video podcast for Divorce Not an Option. I appreciate the support for that. We dropped our first episode last week. You know, and every week we're dropping a new video. But, you know, so if you're in a relationship, if you're married, man, listen to us, man. We got 20 plus years of experience, man. We've been through it all, ups and downs. So check it out. Also, man, couple of critics been popping. We've been hitting the reviews. A lot of critics are hitting us up, so we're growing the team. So at the end of the day, we're about to take that couple of critics brand. So you go to couplecritics.com, you see all our reviews, because you know we do a lot, but we also watch a lot of TV, a lot of movies and stuff, and we're like, shit, we need to give our reviews, honest reviews, you know what I mean? So we just got so many projects going on. Then culture.skin, that was popping during you know, we sold out during Christmas. So I appreciate you so much. And we revving up, man. You know what I'm saying? We got the whole new Ebony Mojo line. We got the whole new, you know, the clay line. I mean, it's crazy right now. So you go to cultured.skin, cultured.skin. That's the website, guys. No.com. It's cultured.skin. And check it out. All right. But so what I'm going to talk about this one, as you probably read, I'm talking about the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if this is going to be a Cass is Crazy. I'm starting the year off with a Cass is Crazy, all right, entry of Black Men's Mental Health. Not because I'm not doing what I said before. I told you I'm going to go with serious topics this year, this season. I'm going to go really, really serious, you know what I mean? Because also, let's digress a little, my book, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, will be out February 21st. February 21st, the book will finally be out. The book that I've been telling you about for like 2.5-3 years. The book that took me 2.5-3 years to write. And not because the book is very long. It's like the rest of my books. It's about 120 pages. But at the end of the day, I wanted to make sure that I wrote a book that made sense. I wrote a book that was easy to read, that was to the message. And it's hard, you know, because I could have put so much more. I had three, four times the stuff, but you know, attention spans are short, so I wanted to pack it into a book like my other ones, where it's easy to read. You read it a day or two and you get the message, and it's impactful. So Men Are Not Meant to Be Broken will be out February 21st on Amazon. So definitely when it pops up, you have the link in the bio. You're doing pre-sales as well, you know what I mean? So the link is in the bio. So what am I talking about? The cast is crazy. Now, yesterday was the Super Bowl. Sunday, because, you know, maybe somebody listed this on Tuesday, you know. But the Super Bowl, let's just talk about the Super Bowl. Now, this Super Bowl was highly anticipated. We know that Kendrick Lamar was performing. And there was a lot of, you know, talk about, is he going to perform Not Like Us? And, oh my God, is he going to bring out Lil Wayne, or is he going to do this? It was so much stuff around this. And I always had a problem with the Super Bowl.
taking Kendrick Lamar from day one. Now, I want to be clear about this because I don't want people to sit here and say, yo, Cass is a hater. He's a Drake fan. I am not a Drake fan on that level. I love Kendrick Lamar. I think his album Pimp a Butterfly was phenomenal. I'm saying that on purpose right now for later on the podcast, but I want to put these things out now, okay? I thought Pimp a Butterfly was a phenomenal album. He got robbed of album of the year, and I think that album was a masterpiece, a complete masterpiece. Okay, now let's go to present day. So earlier last year, Kendrick said some things Drake didn't like it, so they started going back and forth. Now technically Drake was kind of winning the battle, then Kendrick Lamar came out with Not Like Us. Now I want to admit, it's a catchy ass song. It's a hit song. It's a catchy song. It's dope. The beat is dope. The flow is dope. It's catchy. It's dope. You know, he goes after Drake. You know, he says, like, you know, you're a pedophile and all this other stuff. It is cool. You know what I'm saying? Then he did it. You know, so it was cool. You know, the song was everywhere, right? Cool. So it's kind of like what Drake did to Meek Mills. You know what I'm saying? He had the back-to-back songs with Meek Mill and totally, well, I think he won a Grammy for that or something. I don't know. So, or was nominated, whatever. So cool. You know, it is what it is. You know, in rap battle, you lose, you win. It is what it is, right? Then it started to take a twist that I started to think was weird. Okay. So he did the video. Cool. No problem. Is what it is. But then the tone of Kendrick Lamar's beef with Drake and his what was going on just changed. It went from, yo, he's killing Drake, to, oh, he's full of culture and he's doing this and he's the key. It just took this weird turn. You know what I'm saying? He did this show where he did Not Like Us like 80 times in a row and all the stars came. It just took this weird ass turn. Like this was a cultural movement, dissing Drake, you know? And I was like, okay. Whatever, it is what it is, you know. Then he did the video. They were bragging about, oh, you know, he brought the Bloods and the Crips together in the video. I'm like, okay, well, why is that big? And don't get me wrong, I understand the rivalry, the history and stuff like that, but did he stop them from killing each other? Did they, like, are, you know, they went and now they're not killing each other or killing other people or stuff like that? Did that happen? No, they just got together for one day, but the next day they went back to killing. Okay, they was talking all this stuff and this cultural stuff and I'm like, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the cultural impact of Not Like Us, him calling Jake a pedophile. I'm not seeing the cultural impact. Is it catchy? Is it funny? Is it like, oh, whoa, they got Drake? Yeah. But is it like a cultural impact? Okay, cool. Whatever. So the Super Bowl. So then all of a sudden, the Super Bowl is in New Orleans and everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're going to get Lil Wayne because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? That's Lil Wayne. He's going to beat the Hot Boys out. Yo, that's going to be crazy. They pick Kendrick Lamar. Now, I'm like, wait. Oh, I guess Drake, Lil Wayne's Drake's boy. Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? Oh, wow. So at the end of the day, Kendrick Lamar gets the Super Bowl for a diss record because the one that should have done it this year is Lil Wayne. Let's be honest. We know Lil Wayne should have definitely done it. Lil Wayne has made a bigger cultural impact. He's a bigger star. He has more hits. But, you know, and he's from New Orleans. And he said so many times that his dream to perform at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? But because of the Drake and Kendrick beef, we can't, you know what I'm saying? All right, cool. All right, I thought that was kind of fucked up. But it is what it is. Okay, cool. Whatever. Then the Grammys come around. They nominate, and he gets nominated for like 7 Grammys off of the one song. And I'm like, hold on. Now, am I crazy? But I get it. You know, the song was catchy. The song was cool. You know, I'm not hating at all on the song. I'm not hating that, you know, it should have been nominated, you know what I'm saying, for something, but for everything. And then he wins 5 Grammys. And I'm like really confused here, you know, and I'm not hating on Kendrick. I think it's a great song. I think it should have won. So I think Drake won. So for his diss song, you know, it was catchy. It was cool. But they were making this to be like a cultural phenomenon. Him dissing Drake. So I'm like, okay. So he won 5 Grammys for that song. Not for any other song. The year he did Pimp a Butterfly, but he lost to like Macklemore or something like that. You know, Pimp a Butterfly was a rap album. Macklemore was like a singing type thing, and he won Best Rap Album. Right? Okay, cool. It is what it is. Fine. You know what? Let it go. The Grammy's been biased. Let's talk about Beyonce. Beyonce won country album of the year for a country album. She ain't damn well. She ain't country. Just because you from Texas don't mean you country. Just because you from New York don't mean you ghetto from the hood. So at the end of the day, I understand, you know, why the country music people didn't pick her. Not because it wasn't a good album. Not because Beyonce's not a great album. Because she's not a country music artist. And the Country Music Awards for country music artists to highlight them. People that have been grinding their whole lives in the genre. See, one thing about the country genre, unlike black genres, is they stand up for their own. When Lil Nas X came out with that Old Town Road, you know, it went on the country thing and then they took it off. Because they said he's not a country artist. And even though they put it back on the regular billboards, but they didn't put it back on the country charts. They stand up for their culture. At the end of the day, if you not country, you not getting in. Point blank. That's the culture. You ain't country, you not getting in. This ain't nothing against Beyonce. Not saying that she can't do a country album. Not saying that that wasn't a good country album. But at the end of the day, she's not a country music artist. So at the end of the day, they're like, yo, that's great. We'll do some collabs, all that. We're not going to give her album of the year because she's Beyonce. No. Now, did she change the scheme of black country music by letting other artists shine on other artists like Shabusky and all these other artists in the country? Yeah, she did. She did come in and she made an impact. Now people are looking at these artists, Shabusky, whatever his name is. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. You know, he had a hit song with the getting club tipsy, all this other stuff. You know, so cool. She did great things for the country art, and that's fine. But I agree. You know, country music, they stick by theirs. If you not country, you not getting into this genre. Point blank, don't care who you are. And they stand 10 toes deep on that. And I respect that. Black people, we don't do that. And we'll get to that a little later. So cool. So he wins these Grammys, right? Beyonce wins thing. Chris Brown wins, his R&B music. I think this year's Grammys was Sorry to Black People Grammys. Cause pretty much all they were doing saying sorry to black people this year. That's it. So whatever. That's another topic, another podcast maybe. Okay. So cool. He wins the Grammys. Fine. No problem. So then the Super Bowl happens, right? So, you know, I wanted to watch the show, you know. Like I said, I have no bias against Kendrick Lamar. I like him. I think he's cool. He's a great artist. You know what I'm saying? I love Pimp a Butterfly. His other albums after that, they were okay. But Pimp a Butterfly, phenomenal. I love it. Went to the concert, took my wife. My wife is a huge Kendrick Lamar fan. I mean, huge. So, you know, I'm with it. So the Super Bowl comes. And I'm watching the show. And I like the Samuel Jackson. I mean, he's a legend. He's a legend. He's the culture. At the end of the day, Samuel Jackson is undeniably black and he reps for the culture. So I like that. I like that aspect. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was trying to do a message. That's cool. I get it. But this shit was boring. See, this is my thing. I was on Facebook and I really put, if you follow me on Facebook, Cassano Williams on Facebook, I said it was one of the worst halftime shows of all time. And this is why I said that. Not because Kendrick Lamar is a good artist. Not at all. But the Super Bowl show is another level. The Super Bowl show is a strictly entertaining event. You know, the artists go out there to showcase their best. They're not doing necessarily a message, but it's entertaining. You know, now he had a message. Cool. You know, but I didn't think it was a message. I didn't get the message. It wasn't, I'm not sitting there. It wasn't blatantly in my face message. I wasn't trying to get the subliminals. I mean, people at this point at Super Bowl have drinking, eating chips, hot wings, having a good time. And then the Super Bowl come on. It's supposed to be entertaining. It's not for me to sit down and analyze. I'm sorry. Unless it's blatant. Like Beyonce's show was a message. It was a message because at the end of the day, you saw the military style. You saw, you know what I'm saying, the Black Panther. It was easy to guess. Like, oh, she doing a pre. It was easy. You know, because when you're doing the Super Bowl, I don't know what sober person or person that isn't amped up for their team or sad for their team. You know what I'm saying? At the halftime, they're like, oh, let's see how entertainment is going to be. Nobody wants to sit down and have to fucking read a whole thesis to understand the messaging. That's not what the Super Bowl's for. You know what I'm saying? Now, the way Beyonce did it was cool. It was entertaining as hell, but it gave a message. It was dancing. It was her. It was a whole thing where you got the message instantly. You got it instantly. It wasn't you had to figure it out. You had to break it down later. You had to sit down and watch it at least four. No, that's not what the halftime show is for. So at the end of the day, I thought it was whack. I thought it was horrible because it wasn't entertaining. It had so many stereotypes that, see, this is the thing. You want to give a message, right? And maybe in your message, you're doing these stereotypes to show America, whatever, right? But half of America don't get that shit. They're not looking, white people, Asian people, they're not looking at it saying, oh, the people with grills are representing the struggle. The people with do-rags are representing the struggle. The car out there is right. They're looking at it like, see, black people always doing hood shit. That's how they see it. They're not going to go above and beyond and think beyond like, man, Kendrick gave a message to the state of our country and how we should real. No, they're saying, yo, why is he doing all this ghetto shit? Why he got people with do-rags out there? Why he got people crip walking? And let's talk about that, you know. So I'm sorry. I am no fan of Crips and Bloods, and our black people represent them like they're the culture. These are two gangs that historically have killed hundreds of thousands of people over the last 30, 40, 50 years. They've been in constant war with each other over drugs, killing, murdering, all that stuff. Men, women, and children. They have killed men, women, and children. And they are celebrated. We are crip walking. We're representing Bloods and all that stuff as if it's for the culture and is something cool. Kendrick Lamar has displayed gang life as if it's cool, as if the rest of America is going to look at that like, man, that's deep. He's representing the cultural environment, the economic. I mean, nobody cares. They're going to actually look for what it is. Nobody's going to sit deep. We want a message as black people. Well, get a message that the people that we want to get it actually understand. Also, little kids, little black kids looking at that are not going to be looking at the Crip Walk as, oh, it's a statement. No, they're going to look at the Crip Walk as like, oh, that's cool. So they're going to be emulating Crip Walk, not understanding that Crip Walking right there is from a gang that killed hundreds of thousands of people. I don't know if hundreds of thousands of people, but you know, a lot of goddamn people, 40, 50,000, it's a lot of people. Let's be honest. Men, women, and children, not just gang members. I'm just saying men, women, and children. Have been killed. Hundreds, thousands have been killed. Men, women, and children. Then you got Serena coming out. Now, I get it. They're trying to say, oh, Serena's coming out to do it because Drake was, harassing and stalking her for years, blah, blah. Okay. But Serena coming out crip walking is like your aunt getting killed by a cop unjustly, and then you're going to a Blue Lives Matter march with a Blue Lives Matter shirt on. Why am I saying that? Because 20 years ago, Serena's older sister got killed by a Crip, a drive-by shooting by a Crip. Now, I wanted to double check this. I heard the story before, but I wanted to double check because I didn't want to think I was crazy. But her older sister, that was her manager, that was crucial in the early parts of their career, was there, was killed by in a drive-by shooting by a Crip. And now you are on one of the biggest platform stages in the world, Crip walking. Knowing that your sister was killed by the very thing you are representing. Like, am I crazy? Am I literally crazy for thinking this is the dumbest shit in the world I've ever seen? See, black people, our culture, unfortunately, does the dumbest shit. The dumbest shit. And then we want to justify it. We want to sit there and say it's for the culture. What about killing black people's for the culture? Why do we celebrate our our sin. Why do we celebrate our negative? You don't see white people saying, I united the KKK and the Nazis together. You need, like, you don't see them doing that. You don't see Spanish people saying, I have united the Mexican cartel and MS-13 and the Latin Kings. We're all united now. You don't see them doing that. You don't see the Italian, the Japanese talking about, I have united the Yokoshis and the Mafia. They don't do that because these are criminals. These are people that have hurt the culture, killed the culture, did things to the culture. So at the end of the day, they don't celebrate bringing them together. They don't celebrate the things they do. They don't celebrate the culture of these, you know, they don't do that. You know, now they may not go out there and publicly denounce them and do all that. That's fine. Whatever. The culture is the culture. I get it. You know, you're scared. These people run stuff. I get it. But they don't go out there and promote them. They don't go out there and make money off of them. They don't go out there and do things to other cultures to say, yo, this is cool. Let's Crip walk. Yeah, we're representing Crip walking, which is a gang that done killed thousands of black people. But let's do the Crip walk on national TV, even though my sister got killed by you know, one of those Crips. But I'm going to celebrate them by doing their dance. Literally, the dance is called Crip walk. It's not even a dance that, like, okay, it was popular and Crips took it over to do it. Then I get it, you know, like, that dance was poppy, you know, people doing the butterfly back in the day. And then, you know what I'm saying, all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying, other people started doing it. You know, a gang started doing it. You know, I get that. But Crip walking was literally created by the Crips. It was their walk. It was their walk. I know the Bloods had their thing too, but the Crip walk was their thing. It's literally called the Crip walk. And at the end of the day, and I think it was called Crip walk because it looked like you're crippled. And it was like, you know, you look like you're crippled. That's why they was doing this all Crip walking Crips. Okay, cool, whatever. And at the end of the day, now it's celebrated. Let's do it at the clubs. Let's celebrate all our young kids doing it. Yay, let's do the gang dance. But see, people are going to argue with me that it's for the culture. It's for the culture, Cass. It's for the culture. Like, we do the dumbest shit as black people for the culture. And it needs to stop. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of things in LA that you could highlight that has made impact on the culture than the gang war that's been going on for the last 30, 40 years. Like, come on. That's the only thing LA is known for when it comes to black people is gangbanging. And the minute you bring two gangbangs together, you are getting a plaque. You're getting praise. Like, oh my God, you're a great person. You brought the gangs together for a day. But tomorrow they're going to go back to killing each other. Like, am I crazy for that? Like, why as black people do we highlight everything that is negative for us makes money? And I get it. Y'all going to say, well, you know, the white man has done that and they profit. And you know what? You're right. But the white man can't profit off of something that we don't do. They can't profit off of our pain and our suffering if we don't do it ourselves. We want to sit there and complain about cultural people doing cultural things, cultural appreciation, whatever they call it. I mean, I'm horrible words, people. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we do it to ourselves. We don't appreciate our culture. There are so many things to be highlighted in the black community than gangs. And then they make money, millions of dollars. Still openly gangbanging. You know, I love Chris Brown. I love all this Snoop. I love them all. Don't get me wrong. But they promote gang violence. You affiliate with a gang that's killing people every day. But they do it for the culture. It's for the culture. And I'm tired of that crap because ain't nobody for the culture because the culture wouldn't kill themselves. The culture wouldn't promote anything that is negative in our culture. That's not doing it for the culture. And, you know, people are defending Kendrick. Oh, it was a statement and this and that. No, it wasn't. This man is famous, more famous now than he ever was before for dissing another person and calling him a pedophile. That is what right now Kendrick Lamar's career is about. There is nothing going for Kendrick Lamar going to be bigger than Not Like Us. Let's be real. To me, it's a stain on his career, because even though he had this big year, he had all these Grammys, but what was it for? Oh, dissing Drake, calling him a pedophile. That's what your success right now is for. Not because you worked hard as an artist. You did a phenomenal album called Pimp a Butterfly. You followed up with a lot of great singles. You did, you know, no, because you diss Drake and you won 5 Grammys. You did the Super Bowl and you're the man. And that's that. And this is the problem. That's the height of his career. This is the height of his career. He was made the king, Snoop, and everybody saying, oh, he's the key. He took the crown from me, and now he's the key. Because he dissed Drake. Like, think about it. You made Drake even more powerful. Like, it was so powerful that you dissed Drake, that you got Drake. Like literally, you made him even more important worldwide. Worldwide, Drake is still huge. He's selling out. Drake Kendrick can't do that. You can sell out L.A., maybe some cities in New York and, you know, in the States. But at the end of the day, your claim to fame now. And I think it's sad. I personally think he's a great artist. So I'm not hating. He's a great artist. I think he's a great artist. I repeat, I think Kendrick is a great artist. But this is sad that now his claim to fame is that he dissed Drake. He's not going to get bigger than this. Drake. All Drake needs is one hit, which he'll get somewhere. He'll get it. And it's sad. It's completely sad. Now, I'm not hating on Kendrick. I want Kendrick to be successful. I hope he is. I hope he still finds success. But I think it's going to be hard to top this year for him. It's going to be hard. You go from a hit song, number one, the Billboard, 5 Grammys, and you do the Super Bowl. Like, to be honest, what more can you do? How bigger can you get than that? And it wasn't off of the past albums or the album that should have got it. It was off of this song. This is a Canadian. And that's the truth. So all I'm saying is the Super Bowl was horrible to me. Not because Kendrick is a bad artist. Not at all. It's because, one, he didn't deserve the Super Bowl in my mind. Lil Wayne did. Let's be honest. Wayne did. Wayne would have brought out the Hot Boys. Wayne would have did his hits. It would have been a phenomenal New Orleans style Dave shoot. Maybe what a Master P about it, but I don't know. It would have been a great tribute to New Orleans. But that didn't happen. And the show itself was, I mean, you know, it wasn't a good show to me. It wasn't a Super Bowl show. I know people say the Weeknd show was horrible. Justin Timberlake show was horrible. Jennifer Lopez. I mean, you know, everybody has their opinion. But to me, that show doesn't even, it's not, it's in the top 10 of one of the worst shows. And not because the artist, you know, like Justin Timberlake's not a bad artist. Weeknd's not, these are not horrible artists. But for the Super Bowl, you know, Rihanna's show was good. I think Usher had a great show. I think, you know, the West Coast show was great, you know, dedicated to West Coast artists. So I think it was great. These shows are great. They were entertaining. They were what it was supposed to be for the Super Bowl. You know, Prince, of course, memorable. Beyonce, memorable. You know, Michael Jackson, of course, phenomenal. You know, all these artists that have done Shakira and, you know, Bruno Mars and all these people have done the Super Bowl in the past. You know what I'm saying? Some hit, some miss. I get it. So it is what it is. And we understand that having a good Super Bowl or a bad Super Bowl show does not hit or make your career. At the end of the day, you're still the artist you are. And people always have their opinions about the Super Bowl show and keep it going. So, and you get more caught from it. So let's be honest. But it wasn't a good show, in my opinion. It wasn't a good show. Was it for the culture? Because if it was for the culture, you wouldn't be promoting anything that's against Black culture, killing of men, women, and children in our culture. When you're promoting gang culture, when you're promoting hate and violence and things like that, it's not for the culture. You're using the culture for entertainment, for money, but you're not for the culture. Because if you're for the culture, there are a lot more other things to highlight in your show than gang culture. And then you're trying to spin it saying it's a message. I'm sorry, I just can't understand nor get with that mentality. I just can't. But you know, I know people are going to disagree with me. I know on my Facebook, if you follow me on Facebook, Cassandra Williams, you know, a lot of people, you know, I said it was the worst show, people coming at me like, oh, you don't understand. So the culture beyond, yeah, I was like, you know, Beyonce shows for the culture, Black Panther movement, the style, everything. Oh no, that's not for the culture. I was entertainment, but Kendrick Lamar's for the culture. You know, it's Kendrick. And then, you know, you got people going out trying to break down the meaning of the show and, oh, Samuel Jackson said this and that meant this. And then the flags going a different direction. Nobody picked that up. No. That's not a halftime show. Nope. I'm not here to sit down and eating some wings, drinking some beer. Either I'm happy because my team is winning or I'm sad because my team is losing. But sit there and go through a thesis report like I'm in a class and try to analyze what you're trying to say. I'm sorry. That's not cool at all. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. So I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the crazy one for seeing it that way. All right, people. I appreciate y'all. This is podcast. It's 2025, people. Let's get turned up this year. This year, let me tell you, last year for me, as you know, I've stated before, was a rough year. Medical. I had a lot of medical things that happened. I had a lot of, you know, we had some losses in my family that happened. It was a lot that went on towards the end of the year. It got really, really rough, too. But you know what? 2025 is better. My health is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. My health is good. I'm surrounded by great people. I'm growing great connections. I dropped my book. My book's about to drop that I've been doing for 3 years. Men Are Meant to Be Broken. I think the idea probably happened like 4 or 5 years ago, to be honest. The idea, the name of the book. But me writing the book, I've written this book on cruises. I've been writing this book on cruises, on trips in New York, at my house, at my jobs. I was doing some gate engagement speaking. I was writing this book for the longest. And I know you're gonna be like, damn, Cass, this book is only like 120 pages. What the hell you been writing? But see, like I said, I really wanted to make sure that I got everything into a compact book that's easy to read. So it took me a while to formulate it. And I wanted the grammar to be correct. I want everything to be correct with this book because this is my first idea book. This is the first book I've written that isn't, you know, these are ideas. You know, it's like, you know, I did my podcast book or I did my motivation book. Those are more like clinical. You know, I was heavy on procedures and things like that. You know what I mean? Where this one was just my ideas, my thoughts straight from me. So it was very important that I want to articulate everything well. And I'm not the best grammar person when it comes to writing. So I wanted to make sure this book was correct, and it took me a while to get here. And I know because even I was talking about last year, your October is coming out, you know what I'm saying, and you know, but February 21st it will be available on Amazon. The link will be in the bio in the description of this podcast. But I appreciate everybody's been rocking me. 2025 is the year, everybody. This year is the year that you're going to live your dreams. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing this year. I'm living my dreams, all my goals. This is the year. Every year for the past few years have been a year focused on health, focused on mental, focused on financial, focused on emotional. I had all these years that were focused on 2025 for me, regardless of what happens, because, you know, life is life and life be life in sometimes. So I'm not sitting here all gassed. I'm like, well, no, it's going to happen. Hey, life be life. But I know this year I'm pursuing all my dreams, all my businesses, and I want you to do that as well. Pursue everything that you are. You know, this is your world. You create your world. Don't let nobody create your world. You create it. I'm creating my world and the world I want to live in. My surroundings, the people I love, the people that love me, the people that are around me, I'm creating it. So you do the same thing for yourself. 2025 is that year. And like I said, I'll be dropping two podcasts every week, one for Black Men's Mental, and then the other is going to be on Cass is Crazy, what's going on in the media, because I think we need to talk. And I'm going to be focused more on serious topics. I'm going to be focused more on the mental health side. I know a lot of times times, maybe past year, the year and a half, I've kind of gone off a little, talked about things and stuff. But, you know, I'm getting back to the basis of why this podcast started, because at the end of the day, I want to keep authentic to this podcast. I'm going to be doing some vlogging as well. So check it out as well. But yeah, go to CastleWilliams.com. You can check this out and everything else I got going on there. You know what I'm saying? Download the Culture Radio app because you hear this podcast and other podcasts. I have my own channel on my own station, Black Men's Mental Health Radio, where we play music and have podcasts on mental health as well, plus this podcast on the Culture Radio app. So download the app on cultureradio.com, theculturradio.com. All right. And like I said, check out Couple of Critics. Check out Divorce Not an Option with me and my wife on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@divorcenotanoption. All right. All right, guys. Until next time.